You ever been picked for a team? Anyone ever stood the horrible playground thing? Okay, a couple people. Okay, I was always picked last. Always, or close to the last. And when I was about 11, so it was like grade 5 or 6 or something like that, I graduated from T-ball. Okay, if you know what T-ball is, and I remember I used to play a lot at like the Forest Heights Diamond and all over the place. So T-ball, Kitchener T-ball, and I graduated to hardball. Yeah, right? Good times. Some of you guys have played hardball and fastball, and I thought, this is my time. All right, so here's the deal. I was the worst on the team. I was the absolute worst on the team throughout the whole season. I knew it. Everybody else knew it. I never played hardball again. It gets better. It's way better than that. Our team was kind of a pilot project to see if some girls could play. See where this is going? So we had the one girl in the whole league on our team. I was way worse than her. That's not that girls are worse than guys, but to an 11-year-old. Oh, dude, that is not cool, okay? That is not okay as an 11-year-old. So I knew very well what it was like to not be picked, to be picked last, to be picked on, all of those things. But I've experienced the other side of it, too. I remember being on a missions trip a number of years ago, and we had a few students from our student ministry go on this trip with a bigger group, and there were students in our group and other groups. Like anywhere you go, there's people who you click with a little bit more and you connect with and are just seem to be socially better than others. And then there's others who are a little more high maintenance, or you don't click with, or you don't like as much. The reality is we like certain people who are like us. We're just drawn to that. And as I spent time on this team, I didn't realize it, but I was really gravitating to like 4 or 5 students from our church and elsewhere who I really clicked with. We had the same sense of humor, and we got along really well. And it wasn't until close to the last day, I think it was 2 or 3 days before the end, one of the students from our church, who I hadn't spent as much time with, we divided up into work teams in the afternoon. She wasn't necessarily on my work team. But she said something along the lines, I don't remember the conversation, I don't remember how it built up to this, but it was something along the lines of, well, why would you want to do that? Because you haven't spent any time with us anyway, right? And I realized that it wasn't something I had deliberately done, but I had gravitated to a group of students who I connected with more. And I'd missed the opportunity to spend time with everyone, to bless them and be blessed by them. And so we hit James chapter 2. This is probably some of the most basic teaching, basic Bob teaching for a follower of Jesus, James chapter 2. And I want to read verses 1 to 13 in 2 different versions. So I'm going to have you close your Bibles, okay? Close your Bibles. You can look on the screen or close your eyes, okay? Because I want you to take this in. Open your Bibles later. By all means, bring your Bibles. But just listen and see what God says to you. This is from the New Living, and then we'll read it from the Message. My dear brothers and sisters, and remember, this is the elder James. He's very tender at this point of teaching in James. He's moving in. He's teaching some basic building blocks upon which the rest of everything falls. So you need to get this basic stuff. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, hey you stand over there or else sit on the floor, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by your evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers, dear sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law found in scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as the person who has broken all God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery, also said, you must not commit murder. So if you murder someone but don't commit adultery, you've still broken them all. You've broken the whole law. So whatever you say, whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. And from the Message, paraphrase done by Eugene Peterson. My dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out your glorious Christ-originated faith. If a man enters your church wearing an expensive suit, and a street person wearing rags comes right in after him, and you say to the man in the suit, "Hey, sit here. This is the best seat in the house," and either ignore the street person or say, "Better sit in the back row," haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who can't be trusted? Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chose the world's down and out as the kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God, and here you are abusing these same citizens. Isn't it the high and mighty who exploit you, who use courts to rob you blind? Aren't they the ones who scorn the new name Christian that you use in your baptisms? You do well when you complete the royal rule of scriptures, love others as you love yourself. But if you play up on these so-called important people, you go against the rule and stand convicted by it. You go against the rule and stand convicted by it. You can't pick and choose in these things, specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. The same God who said, "Don't commit adultery," also said, "Don't murder." If you don't commit adultery but go ahead and murder, do you think your non-adultery will cancel out your murder? No, you're a murderer, period. Talk and act like a person expecting to be judged by the rule that sets us free. For if you refuse to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. Tough words, tough words. So Francis Chan, some of you know, he's been a pastor of several churches, written a bunch of books. He preached on this a number of years ago at a church he was serving called Cornerstone. And he did something interesting. They had several services over the weekend. One was on a Saturday night and a bunch on Sunday. And so he set up a hidden camera to see how people in the church would show favoritism. And he stood out in the foyer as pastor of the church, and most people would know who he is. And he had written books and was kind of famous by that point. So he stood in one spot along a table in the foyer and had a student, high school student who had a lip ring and shaggy hair a little bit, stand just a little further over than him. So if you want to show that, they actually keep a running tally on how welcoming they are, and I'll hand out these as we watch that. If someone can get the lights, that'd be awesome. I don't know where Gary went. He's run away.